Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
Okay, so today, let me tell you a story about what we're talking about today. So this whole topic in my head started with an interaction that you and I had, was it last year? You don't know what I'm talking about yet. Okay, so
I have an idea where you're going with this. It's Bowman Lake.
Yes, so
it was October of 2010.
Okay, so a couple years ago at this point. So you and I were out hiking. We were at camp one night, and the people sitting across the lake from us had a dog with them. And that was the first time I had really come across somebody with a dog out on the trail. So you and I do not hike with dogs, but I thought we could talk about, like, how to interact with people that have dogs, or if you have dogs, like, what is responsible dog hiking etiquette type stuff. In my head, the sound clip that keeps playing is, "Can I pet that dog?" from, I think it's from TikTok or Vine or one of those. I don't know what it's from, but, like, so I think I'm going to title this episode, "Can I pet that dog?" But it's all about, like, dog-related hiking. If that sounds like something you're into.
Yeah. I like dogs. I have dogs. I don't hike with my dogs for personal reasons.
I don't hike with my dogs because my dogs would kill me if I tried to make them walk that far. But
well, yeah. My dogs would go, well, one of my dogs would go that far, but she would need her own single person tent. So,
I feel like my oldest dog would love to be a hiking dog.
Oh, yeah.
But she unfortunately...
She would be great on the trail.
She would have when she was a puppy. She's 13 now. I don't think she could do it anymore. But in her younger days, I think she would have loved to be a hiking dog.
Yeah. Her temperament's really good. She would have been a great trail dog had we started this when she was younger.
Yeah. So anyway, so I thought we could talk about all things related to that. So I don't know. Do we want to start with, like, let's talk about, you and I maybe don't have a lot of experience with taking our own dogs on the hiking trail, but we do take our dogs regular camping. We kind of know what it's like to take the dogs out of their element and how to get them to interact with, like, the general public in that sort of setting. I don't feel like having them on the trail is drastically different than that. So do we want to talk about, like, from that perspective, if we were taking our dogs, maybe some of the
things we would do?
Yeah, the kind of do's and don'ts of hiking with a dog from our perspective.
I mean, we take our dogs on short hikes within the campgrounds, whether it's on a trail or on the just on the path or whatever.
I guess we do kind of take them on day hikes. I guess you could consider those day hikes.
So it all kind of flows together. When you have a dog, you need to know how far your dog is willing and capable of going. Because I say willing because I have a dog that he always wants to go for a walk. But
yeah,
As soon as we see the house again, or he knows where we're going, he gets a sense that we're headed home. He's on a one track to get home.
Yeah.
So
right.
So know your dog's desires and limitations. Like how, like that dog can, he can walk for, you know, he'd go for 3 miles if we didn't go back towards home.
Right.
And same with my other, but like our biggest dog, our puppy, she would go, she probably could go 3 to 5 miles in a given stretch right now. But know your limitations and know that you're wearing shoes. They're not.
That is a very good point. And I guess I never really looked into, so years ago, this is just a personal anecdote, not necessarily exactly related to hiking, but kind of along the lines of what you're talking about. When I first started dating my now husband, he would take one of our other dogs on walks, and he went out for a walk with one of his girlfriends and took Buddy, one of our oldest dogs, who is 13 now. He was a young pup at the time, but took him on like this 6 mile walk. This dog had never been on a walk that long before.
He was loving it.
He had a great time. Please do not send the ASPCA off me. This was an honest mistake. But like, wore the pads raw on the bottoms of this dog's feet. It was awful. We did all the things. We took him to the vet. He's fine. It was not intentional, I promise you. Please don't come after me, dog people. We felt absolutely awful. He didn't know any better. He knows better now. Right. But yeah. I mean, but so you're right. I mean, definitely know your dog's limitations, because, you know, if you've got a dog that's a couch dog,
right,
maybe don't take him on a 10-mile hike for his first time out. That is an excellent point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I mean, dirt is different than gravel and asphalt and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
Sure. But they're still up on their joints and all that stuff when they're not used to it. Just like you, you have to get prepared, or you can't just start out throwing 40 pounds on your back and going 10 miles.
Right.
You have to work up to that point just your dog. Yes, it's a dog. It walks, it runs, it plays for short distances, short times. So you have to build that dog's stamina up to be able to tolerate that. So so make sure your dog is properly trained for the distance that you want to go.
Right. And then along with that, the other thing that you kind of, if you're going for a day hike even, or even a longer one, some things to think about is, like, you know, you're going to have to plan for your dog just like you plan for you, right? Like, what is your dog going to do for water? What is your dog going to do for food? What is your dog going to do for rest?
Right.
Do you know what signs of distress look like in a dog? As far as, what if they get dehydrated? What if they're getting overheated? Like, dogs don't sweat like we sweat, right? I mean, and I think most dog owners probably know that. But, like, what are you going to do? You and I know our limits, right? Like, we can talk to each other. We can say, like, hey, I'm getting tired. I need a break. Do you know how to recognize that in your dog? Do you know how to recognize if your dog needs that break, needs water, maybe needs food? Because, you know, we'll stop and have a snack, you know. Yeah. Do you have a plan to have a snack for your dog? Because, I mean, if your dog's going on a long hike with you, if they're capable of doing that, they're going to get hungry along the way, too. They're using a bunch of energy that they don't normally use. So all those things are good to be cognizant of, have a plan for. And I don't think I'm telling anybody that's a dog owner, I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know, right? But I think it's worth thinking about before you go. Like, what is your plan for this? How much food do you need to take? Do you need to take a little bit extra?
And one thing I'll throw in there, like, you're like, is the dog going to need water? And while we're all guilty of, and we've all seen our dogs do it, like, my dogs will drink out of a puddle in my backyard. They'll find a puddle on the road that probably has car oil and all that kind of stuff in it. They're not getting that much. Like, if if I catch them trying to drink something that I wouldn't normally let them drink, I stop them and try to get them to come inside and get tap water.
Sure.
So if you're out on the trail with your dogs, my recommendation, I don't have any experience of hiking with a dog, but I wouldn't be just take my dog down to the lake, let him fill up on lake water, and then have the shits when we get back
to camp. That's exactly the first thing that came into my head is you're going to wind up with the wicked shits with your dog. Right.
So I would filter my dog's water just the same as I would my water, just because I don't know what my dog's gut can 100%. Handle as far as the bacteria in that water.
100%. So, absolutely. Because that's what I would be worried with about, not necessarily the dog getting like violently ill or something like that, in the same way that we might if we're drinking dirty water. Because let's face it, the dogs' systems are just totally different than ours, and they eat shit that literally shit.
Right.
But what I would be concerned about is the god awful diarrhea that might accompany that,
and potentially. I mean, if you're out in the backcountry and you are staying overnight with this said dog, that could potentially be in your tent.
Yeah. So, I mean, my dogs have wicked gas and sometimes the shits on a well-regimented diet. You're drinking the same tap water every day. And for some reason, that cannot agree with them. I can't imagine throw in they're drinking out of a stream, and like, I don't know about your dogs, but my dogs, they'll eat, there's something leafy and green, they want to eat it. Now you're out on the trail in the woods, I can't imagine what my dog would try to put in its mouth out there that's potentially not going to agree with them.
And I guess that comes down to our next point, or my next point, is that like, make sure your dog is properly trained for the trail and has trail manners, as in it stays on the trail and it's not running off and just eating leafy vegetation, whatever. It's not like destroying nature.
So here's my thought on that. Because in principle, I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. Keep your dog, make sure your dog knows how to act. Make sure it's a well-mannered dog or whatever. Mm-hmm. But having said that, how do you do that without taking your dog out, right? Like, at some point, you're going to be a beginner dog on the trail.
Fair.
You have to train your dogs about those things. So at some point, they are going to be brand new.
Yeah.
But I would go into, you are taking a brand new dog, go into it with the mindset that you need to teach this dog how to hike with you. Not just let it run the show.
Right. And I do assume that most people that are going to be taking their dogs out on the trail spend more time with their dogs, and they have their dogs are probably a bit more well-mannered, things of that nature, and listen to the owner, because 90% of the dogs we have, I can't even say 90% because we've probably only seen like 6 dogs on the trail. But the majority of the dogs we have seen on the trail have been off leash.
I have a real issue with the off leash thing.
I know. And I'm okay with it. I'm way more okay with it if you're aware of your surroundings, like we spoke about in a previous episode, you are hearing that we are approaching, then, because you're going to hear us, because we're like, oh, there's a dog up there, because we want to pet that dog.
I know.
But so if you notice that there's people coming and your dog responds and comes to you and you leash your dog, I am personally okay with that. I personally wouldn't put my dog off leash, especially in the woods, because there's just nature everywhere, and my dogs they're best friends with the squirrel in my backyard. Like, I couldn't imagine what they'd want to do with the squirrels out there. So
I'll be honest, I have a real hard time with people letting their dogs off leash. I get it. Like, I grew up out in the country, but the dogs we had grown up never were on a leash. I get it.
Right.
And I get that some people's dogs are really well trained and have great recall and maybe are super sociable and love other dogs and stuff. But you and I have gone hiking on day hikes on hiking trails with our dogs. If I were to encounter somebody with their dog off leash while I had my dogs, I'm not entirely sure I wouldn't lose my shit. I'll be honest with you. Like, right. I just had one of my dogs in a state park in regular camping situations.
Right.
Was, without getting too deep into it, was attacked by another dog. My dog was on a leash. Their dog, in all fairness, was on a tie-out, was so ill-trained that it charged and broke its tie-out and then attacked my dog. Several thousand dollars later, my dog is fine, thank God. I have a real hard time with people letting their dogs off leash where they're going to even potentially encounter other people. You want to do what you want to do on your own private property. You do what you want to do on your own private property. These trails are not your own private property. Most of them in our area have leash laws. Keep your dog on a leash.
Yep.
And I know I sound like a jerk saying that. I'm getting a little bit loud about it, but like I have a real problem with people letting their dogs off leash. And I love dogs. I want to pet your dog. I want to interact with your dog. Keep your dog on leash.
Rules is rules.
Rules is rules. And keep your dog on a leash.
I like throwing around 90% for some reason, but I would say that percentage of trailheads that we have gone to, if not higher than that, have a little dog thing. Yep. It either has a dog thing and it's got a buster around it, meaning dogs are not allowed on this trail, or it's got a dog thing and then it's got a leash and it says 6 foot required.
Right.
I understand you encounter very few people on the trail.
Right.
But
and I get it. Your dog's out there having exercise and you're bonding and
power to you.
I get all those things. I really do.
Yep. But at the same time, rules is rules, and not everybody on the trail is as comfortable with your dog as you are.
Right.
So that realistically, that's what it comes down to.
Even if I didn't have my dogs, not everybody grows, I've got family that didn't grow up around dogs. Not direct family, because we grew up with dogs in my household, but I have family that I've married into that didn't grow up with dogs, is kind of afraid of dogs, is very uncomfortable around them. I wouldn't want to. I know you're not forcing your dog on them, but if your dog is off leash and they're approaching them without them being okay with it, you're forcing your dog on them.
Right.
The dog don't know any better. It's not the dog's fault.
If you're
fault.
Not in direct control of that,
Be in control of your dog.
We've got a mutual friend that is, I'm not going to say terrified, he's just not a dog person. Mm-hmm. He was over at our house, and my dogs wouldn't leave him alone. So I ended up putting them in a different room because I invited him over to my house.
Right.
And so we were hanging out, and the dogs wouldn't leave him alone. So I was like, I'm going to put them in another room rather than ask him to leave.
Yeah.
Because I invited him over knowing that he's not really a dog person.
I know exactly what friend you're talking about. And I do the same thing when he comes over to my house too. Normally, realistically, it's been a while since I've seen him anyway, but normally
he tolerates it very well.
He tolerates them, but normally it's like, okay, let's go hang out outside and I'll keep the dogs in the house. Or vice versa. We'll hang out in the house and the dogs can hang out outside or whatever. Because he's uncomfortable around them. There's a portion of the public, and we as dog owners often forget about it because we love our dogs and think that they're part of the family. But
most people that we talk to are dog people.
Most people that we hang around with are dog people. Exactly. But there is a good portion of the country that is not dog people. Yep. They don't want your dog approaching them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And
I feel like I'm reprimanding you, and I don't mean to.
I don't feel like that at all. I feel like you are... Are you saying you're reprimanding the listener or me?
Anybody. I feel like I'm being assertive in my stance about that.
Well, you are very passionate on this topic because of your history with this topic.
Yeah.
So I personally forgive you for when you get heated in this topic, but the listener doesn't necessarily know.
Right.
But I was present for that attack.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
If you want to call it that. And I didn't see it firsthand, but I was in the campground, and none of it was pretty.
None of it was pretty. And here's the thing. Like, I don't want to say I've forgiven the guy, because realistically I probably haven't forgiven the guy. But, like, he did have his dog on a tie-out. It's not like the dog was loose, yeah. Whatever.
That's a whole...
There's a whole bunch of stuff that went into it, and we don't dig into the whole long story. But it really did traumatize me. And not to throw that word around, because everybody throws the word traumatized around. But, like, it really did shape my view on a lot of things.
What I will say in this whole thing, though, is that this guy, granted, we found out later on that he had just gotten this dog, but he trusted this dog enough to put it on this tie-out. He trusted the tie-out enough and all that kind of stuff. So you can trust your equipment. You can trust your dog. You just never know.
You just never know.
That's the basically the gist of it, is that, like, you, if it, like, okay, you have a dog that's very well trained and everything like that, good on you. Your dog is able to be off leash, but at the same time, the people that are encountering your dog don't know your dog.
Right.
And your dog may sense something from me or somebody else that's approaching your dog, and you don't have immediate control because you don't have it on a leash.
Right.
That's where my concern is, the off-leash thing is. And that's even my concern when I'm walking my dogs in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I see – we have neighbors that off-leash their dogs all the time, even though we have a six-foot dog – or six-foot leash ordinance. They off-leash them all the time, and we're just like, we don't know that dog. We don't know those people. So, well,
and I would be concerned, like, even as much as I love my dogs and, like, I trust my dogs, right, which I think anybody that's a dog owner – probably feels the same way about, you know, it's like having your own kids, right? Like, you trust your kids and all that sort of stuff.
He'll never hurt a fly. Like, right, doesn't have a mean bone in his body.
But, like, okay, now you're taking that dog into public land or private land or whatever, onto the trail. Let's just say onto the trail.
Right.
With all these new smells, away from their natural environment, where there's different critters. Like, I don't know how your, I do know how your dogs are, but listener, I don't know how your dogs are. My dogs will chase every last damn squirrel or bird that comes into our backyard. Like, it's the first time they've ever seen one in their entire life. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine taking them out onto a trail.
Right.
And then having them encounter some sort of wildlife, raccoon, a rabbit, whatever, now, and trying to chase that.
Right. And 100% in agreement with that. Now, all that being said, when I do see your dogs on the trail, I want to pet that dog.
I do want to pet that dog. I mean, that's honest to God's truth. I do want to pet your dog.
Like, I'm usually more interested in the dog than I am you, but
the people inspired this episode, I'm pretty sure I went up to that lady and said, Can I pet your dog? I'm pretty sure I did. So, yeah, I get it.
So I get it. Like, your dog's able to be off leash. It's probably on me that, like, I don't trust that and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But things do happen. Just like with our last episode, like, 99% of the time you go out in the backcountry, you find friendly people.
Yeah.
There's the 1% of the time where it's not going to end well. So it's probably a lesser percent that it won't end well, but like a 0.001%.
Right.
But regardless, same thing with the dog, is you just never know how it's going to react. I know, as being a dog owner, that if I am Sam's dog, if I'm without a dog and I am approaching or coming up to somebody that has a dog, leash, off leash, whatever, my first contact is going to be with the human
for sure,
and determine, is the dog friendly? Like, can I approach the dog?
Right.
Would love. How'd you train your dog so well to where it will sit by your side like that?
Yeah.
Like you open up that conversation to the human with the dog or about the dog or about whatever. You don't acknowledge the dog until you,
yeah,
you really determine that it's okay to acknowledge the dog.
Yeah.
So I guess that's segueing onto like, how do you encounter or how do you approach that when it does come up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think just like you're saying, right? Like, I mean, the whole thing is talk to the owner. Cause you can't, I mean, you can talk to the dog, but the dog's not going to be able to answer you. But
my wife, but, I mean, all I think, day long, be like, what's your name?
I think and on the trail, respond. Off the trail, the rules are the same regardless when you right. interact with the dog is it's never assume that it's okay to approach a dog. Even if a dog seems to be well behaved, check with the owner before you're reaching down and trying to pet right. it, because you don't know. I mean,
yeah,
dogs are their own thing, right? Like, they've got personalities just like people do.
Absolutely.
Some dogs might be great with their owner, but might. Here's an example. You had a dog, Mike, didn't like people when they were wearing hats.
I didn't have that dog. My sister had that dog.
It
was in my family. Yeah,
it was in your family. Same sort of thing, right? Like, you don't know what this dog's triggers might be or whatever.
Yep.
So communicate with the owner before approaching a dog. I think just that is a life rule, not just necessarily a trail rule or a backcountry rule, but don't just go approaching some dog and assuming it's okay.
Right. So as a comment on that, like, my sister having this dog that did not trust people, did not trust men in hats or hoods. They adopted her when she was a year or two old. Something happened to her from a guy in a hat or a hood or both. Something. But she was my best friend. Like, when I went to their house, like, this dog,
yep,
her and I got along every single day. Went over there one time and was dropping off my bag in the foyer, and I had my hood up because it was Michigan and it was January and it was snowing.
Right.
So I had my hood up and I walked in this house and this dog literally wanted to eat me.
I came over to your house one time. Your sister was visiting and the dog was there, and I loved this dog. This dog and I were best mm-hmm. friends. We'd snuggle on the couch together.
Yep.
You know, it's not like I was a stranger to this dog, but I remember it came to the door and was like growling and baring its teeth when I came mm-hmm. to the door. And she's like, you just got to take your hat off. And then you take your hat off and the dog starts wagging its tail. And so I don't know yep. what the thing was, but I don't want to get too deep in the weeds about that, but it's just...
Right.
Dogs are their own thing. Yeah. Like, you never know what might trigger a dog.
Yep.
From 100 yards away, it might look like a super friendly dog. Don't just go up to it.
Could be the best dog in the world, and then all of a sudden, out on the backcountry, you find out your dog does not like backpacks.
Right.
Like, so if you're going to take your dog out on the backcountry, make sure you wear backpacks around it and be friendly with it so it knows that backpackers are friendly, like, all this right. kind of stuff. Like, properly make sure your dog is properly trained to handle backcountry situations. Do test runs just like you do with your equipment, just like you do with your water. Like, it's just everything.
Yeah.
Try it before you get into the situation where you're not necessarily surviving because you're taking food and all that yeah, stuff. But, like, right. test it before you're out in that mode, you know? So that's it. And, well... I've got another tangent to go off on, but it's a different related topic okay. so right. that I have written down. So,
all right. Well, so then
that's all I have to say on that. So,
that's all I got to say on that. The next thing that I have on my list, and I don't know if you want to go on your list or on my list, but just as you were talking, the next thing that popped into my head was plan ahead. You know, like, because we always talk about plan ahead, do your research, all that sort of stuff, right?
But, right.
if you're going out on the trail with your dogs, my personal recommendation, and I understand that some people listening might have a different belief on some things, but please have your dog on like flea and tick medicine if you're taking them out on the trail.
Oh, yeah. That's not where I was going, but yeah, that's a good one.
I don't get fleas, but I know how many ticks we collect as people when we're out on the trail, and you and I stay on the trail. It ain't like we're going off trail in some way.
We're not frolicking in the meadows.
Exactly. Knowing how many we pick up, I could not imagine taking a dog with me that was not on flea, tick specifically, but flea and tick medicine out on these hiking trails.
Right.
Maybe if where you're listening, if ticks are not a thing where you're at, maybe that's not such a big deal. But here in Michigan, where we're at, I could not imagine taking a dog. If it's not a thing
where you're listening from, let us know and we might want to move there.
Okay, right. But what you get instead of ticks is you get like scorpions or you get like rattlesnakes. I don't know which is worse. Like ticks I can deal with. I know how to deal with that. I don't want scorpions climbing into my tent at night. You know, I don't have scorpion repellent.
Fair. Fair.
But all of that
I was thinking more of like Kansas or something.
Kansas. I think they have ticks in Kansas. Write in and let us know. Sean Mike Hike at gmail.com. Probably. But yeah, no, I mean, that was just when you were talking and, you know, we're talking about like the different things. That's what popped into my head is like, man, make sure your dog's on some sort of medication for that.
We've come across a couple of long-haired dogs on the trail, and I'm just like, oh my God. Like, all of my dogs are short hair, and one of them is very dark colored, so ticks are harder to come by on that, but the comb is easier to get through.
Like, well, I cannot
imagine. Just,
we took my oldest dog, Buddy, we took him on a hike. Just a day hike in a state park, regular camping. We weren't hiking. We were just in a regular state park out in the woods on some hiking trails. And we came back and he had so many ticks in his ears and in his pads. I want to say he's a black dog, which is not great to begin with to pick ticks off of. I want to say we had like 20 ticks that we picked off him that day. It was awful. Yeah.
Brooklyn, my little beagle at the time, was very, very low to the ground.
Yeah.
I think we picked like 26 or almost 30 off of her.
Yeah.
And that was a rough day.
Yeah.
That was, So that's another concern. Like, if you are taking your dogs out there, be prepared to look and check and remove ticks from your dog.
Yeah.
But also just make sure that they're also medicated against it too, because you and I, we can go get a vaccine and everything. If you don't check your dog regularly and if you don't have them vaccinated against it, they can wind up with some serious diseases too. So,
that's the thing. So, you know, do your best to protect your dog in that way if you're going to take him out on the trail too. Just something, if you're not the type of person that normally keeps up on that sort of stuff, you might want to make sure you keep up on that if you're going to take him out on the trail. I guess is kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say on before we got onto that is clean up after your dog.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. If your dog takes a shit, I mean,
is this our leave no trace section that we seem to get into in every episode?
this is like, and I'm even going to go as far as to say, if you really feel like burying it and not carrying it out, I bury my poop. If you want to bury your dog's poop, bury your dog's poop.
I'm kind of okay with that. Yeah. As long as you're away from a water source and all the things, just like you would with your own.
Exactly. If your dog takes a crap on the trail, pick it up.
Yeah. For sure.
We have encountered.
I can't even tell you how mad I would be if I stepped in some dog shit on the trail.
But we have encountered dog shit on the trail. Like, we have encountered it. It was blatantly obvious. It was dog crap.
Yeah.
I've never seen wolf or coyote crap. I assume it looks adjacent. Well, no. I'm pretty sure it's more berry coyote, I think. Anywho, I don't think their scat looks like dog crap because dogs eat more processed foods.
Okay.
So I don't think it looks the same. So what I am pretty sure we've come across has been dog crap on the trail. And realistically, with the amount of wildlife you and I see, we have seen more dogs on the trail than we have anything else.
Yeah.
So
fair.
Pretty sure it's dog crap on the trail.
I think probably chipmunks. I bet we've seen more chipmunks than we have dogs.
Okay. But chipmunks aren't crapping that big.
No. No, I know. So. Yeah, you're right. We have come across what I assume is dog poop. I don't know why, but I like to give humanity the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And yeah. It's like, okay, maybe this is not dog poop. Maybe this is some sort of other animal, because I am not a animal poop expert. I can't readily identify every type of animal poop. So I try to give humanity the benefit of the doubt. And in all fairness, I kind of get where other people come from, where it's like, well, animals poop out here. Why can't my dog poop out here? Right? I kind of understand that mindset.
Yeah.
It's the wrong mindset, but I kind of understand it. But please don't leave your dog shit on the trail. Or in the woods, or whatever.
Right.
Like Mike said, if you're going to bury it, bury it. That's fine. But actually bury it.
And take it off of the trail.
Yeah.
Like, so you're at least going to have to pick it up. So you're going to either take a shovel to take it off of the trail with a shovel, or you're taking a bag anyway. So if you're going to bury it, don't bury it in the bag, because the bag is plastic.
Right.
And doesn't break down as well as...
I mean, for fuck's sake,
so
if you and I can take dog poop bags
for our toilet
and we don't even take dogs, you can take a dog poop bag if you're taking a dog with you.
Yeah. Well, Sean's being very judgmental now.
I'm very passionate about this topic for some reason.
You are. Almost as passionate as trekking poles.
The minute it came out of my mouth, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Almost as passionate.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, we all know, we don't need to harp on it. We all know the proper etiquette of cleaning up after your dog. Making sure your dog is fed, has water, know its limitations on how far you can go. There's a lot of things that go into it when you're going to take a dog. When you are encountering somebody that has a dog and you're not a dog person, the only thing, like I said earlier, is contact the person first. That's first contact.
Yep.
If you see the dog and the dog sees you first, you don't know where the human is. If the dog approaches you, put your hand down, knuckles facing out.
Yep.
Let the dog sniff you.
Yep.
Do not be intimidating one way or the other. Let the dog sniff you and sort itself out on how. Don't be intimidating. Don't say a thing. Just, and if you do say anything, make sure it's in a very gentle, mild-mannered tone. Not a, get out of here.
I will say this, too.
That's going to set the dog off.
I mean, we talked about in the Stranger Danger episode, we talked about, you know, that you and I take bear spray. We take, you know, and some of the sprays that you can take with you to be self-defense oriented.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any problem, especially if you don't like dogs or you have a dog that you're not sure of. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting that handy.
No, that not
those
at all.
Sprays.
Not at all.
I'm not saying shoot a dog on sight, but like,
right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with getting some sort of protective something ready if you see a dog, especially if you don't see an owner nearby.
I was just going to say, I would say I wouldn't get it on the ready if I saw the owners, but if I saw zero people and I only saw this dog, and it was acting in an aggressive manner. Like,
I don't know.
Then for sure, 100% for
maybe
sure.
I'm on a weird side of TikTok. I don't know, but I see all these things. Like, I see dogs. There's videos that I see, which I get it. It's like one video out of millions of videos. So how often does it really happen? But like, I've seen dogs attacking people on horseback.
Well, I've seen cougars attacking people in their driveway on TikTok. Well, like, that ain't happening.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair.
Like, TikTok is not our news source here.
No,
that's not that's not where we're doing our research, people.
No. But be a responsible dog owner.
And be a responsible dog encounterer also.
For sure. For sure. Yes.
Don't assume just because you see the dog. Yep. The worst can happen. Be prepared for the worst, but always assume, especially in the backcountry, always assume that it's a friendly encounter and that everything is going to work out just fine because that dog belongs to somebody on the trail, whether you can see that somebody or not. And they are trained for the backcountry. Assume all of that before you get defensive and just want to throw bear spray. Well, not throw, but
just throw the can of bear spray.
Just throw the whole can.
Now, having said
that, you play fetch with the dog at that point.
Having said that, the other thing, especially for people that don't have dogs, right? The other thing is, like, what if you ask an owner, can I pet that dog? And the owner says no. Respect that too.
Oh yeah, right? Like, respect the boundaries.
That is a possibility too. Like, you might ask, can I pet that dog or can I approach your dog? That person might say no. And for all the reasons and a million other ones that we've talked about, if the owner says no for some reason, don't take it personally, but also don't try to approach that dog. Like, there are dogs that have issues like you and I have talked about.
Right.
Don't approach a dog if somebody tells you not to, and don't take it personally. Right. Like, it's not necessarily
right.
The dog might be in training, whatever the thing is.
I'm going to be as bummed out as anybody out there. If I approach somebody and say, can I pet that dog? And they say no, that I'm going to spend the rest of the night being like, wonder why I couldn't pet that dog.
Look, if there, when we are in regular camping, not hiking related, but regular camping in our normal lives, and we have our dogs in like state parks and that sort of stuff, inevitably we get kids that come up and say, can I pet that dog? And I'll be honest with you, for a long time, one of my dogs was kind of sketchy around strangers. Like, she just, we're kind of homebodies. We don't really interact our dogs with other people all that often. I just wasn't sure how she would react. She's never been like outwardly aggressive, but I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
I don't need a lawsuit, right? Like, I don't need your kid to say my dog bit you just because she was being played, you know, like all the things that go in with that. So my default answer when most people would ask to pet her is I would tell them no.
Right.
So I get it. Like, you might have a myriad of reasons whether you don't, whatever your reason is. If somebody tells you, no, I don't want you to pet my dog or I don't want you to approach my dog, respect that too. Like, that is a valid answer. No is a valid answer. And no.
Well, and there's a reason behind it. There's a reason behind it.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, no, this is something, I mean, this is just life advice aside from dogs and all that. No is a full sentence. You don't need to come up with a reason.
Right.
If the answer is no is no. You don't need to have a reason. If somebody tells you no, that is a full sentence. You don't have to get clarification on that.
You don't have to get a reason. You don't have to get clarification. If somebody tells you no, you can't pet that dog, you walk away from that dog.
Right.
You can have the conversation all you want with that owner as, why can't I pet that dog? Like, all that kind of stuff. Just knowing, just be like, I understand I can't pet your dog. I'm just wondering why. You can have that conversation if you prefer, but just know you're not petting that dog.
You're not petting that dog, and they're not required to give you an answer. I mean,
they're not required to give you an answer.
So,
and here's the thing. I am usually the saddest person in the world, mm-hmm. or in the room at least, when I see a service dog or a service dog in training or a dog that's wearing a vest that says do not pet.
God, I want to pet a service dog.
Like, whatever.
Oh, what a good boy. I just want to pet that dog.
They're such good boys. I want to pet that dog.
For sure. I get it.
Like, I get it. They have a job to do. I watch in amazement. I'm just like, oh my God. I watch them do their job and they're just sitting there.
What a good dog.
That's such a good dog. Like, I want to pet that dog. But at the same time, you have to have that restraint where you don't pet that dog.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, as passionate as I am about some of these topics, especially dog related, like, I love dogs. I love dogs. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that, like, this is not. Especially if we're talking like in the context of hiking with a dog, this is not my personal space. This is not me and my dog's right. personal space.
Right.
This is not you and your dog's personal space. This is public space. So you need to hike with your dog in the mindset of this is community space. And if you are hiking, you need to understand that there might be people on the trail that have a dog in a community space. So, like, we all need to work together to make that work. That's what society is, right? Like, we've all agreed that we're living in a society. We all need to work together and follow some sort of guidelines to make it work. Teamwork makes the dream work, right?
Right. Well, and that just kind of goes back to, like, what we say on every episode is just that, like, keep it so people they want to go out in nature. Like, keep it so it's nobody's afraid to go out in nature. Like, keep nature natural and just allow others to feel comfortable out in nature.
Right.
If you want to take your dog out there, make sure your dog is aware that there is going to be distractions and other people and things of that nature, and that they're friendly with it. Don't let your dog go out there and chase rabbits and kill rabbits, kill squirrels, like all this kind of stuff. It's one thing if you're hunting them. I'm not saying I'm an anti-hunter, like anything like that.
Sure.
If you're hunting them and you are doing whatever, but
I mean, hunting dogs is kind of like a separate conversation. Yeah, like,
well, and you're typically not doing that on a very well traveled trail, correct. Which is what we are typically hiking on. So.
I mean, not to bring it back to Leave No Trace, but, like, it really, your dog should follow the same guidelines that you're following, right? Like, we've talked till we're blue in the face about you're supposed to stay on the trail, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to clean up after yourself, you're not supposed to leave trash behind. Like, all of those Leave No Trace principles, they apply to your dog, too.
Right. Well, I mean, so a lot of people think that, like, well, nature is animals and my dog's an animal, so I can just let it do what it wants to do on the trail. Look, your dog is domesticated.
Yeah.
You're the pack leader of that animal right at that point. So anything you do with your dog is a direct imprint on what you have done to that trail.
Yep.
So that you're not leaving no trace if you let your dog just roam free.
Right. And I get it. I mean, I understand that line of thinking, like, oh, my dog's an animal and animals are out here and my dog's not doing any more damage than an animal would. Like, I get that line of thought. It is wrong. It's not the way that you should frame it. I understand why you would frame it that way. But the bottom line is, if you are on a hiking trail, your dog is an extension of you, more or less. They should follow the same rules that you follow.
Your dog is closer related to humans than it is to nature.
Yeah.
Because of the domestication at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, that's pretty much everything on my list. Did you have anything else, Mike, that you wanted to talk about? I mean, I feel like we've kind of talked about what we're blue in the face.
We're both apparently very passionate about certain aspects.
I know, right? I mean, so just to kind of the quick recap, right? Like, make sure your dog is guarded against fleas and ticks. Have a way to pick up after their waste. Make sure you got food and water for them. Make sure they're well trained. I understand that some dogs are going to be brand new and you're out there training them, but do your best to keep them under control. Keep them on a leash if leash laws are in effect. I understand some places don't have leash laws, but if you're in an area that has leash rules, follow the leash rules. And from the other aspect, if you're out on the trail without a dog and you approach somebody with a dog, treat it with respect, I think, is the overarching.
What I pretty much have is just approach slowly. If you and like I said, hold the hand out, knuckles out, and just let them sniff you out. And because the way I was taught to do that was you hold your hand out. If they want to bite something, they'll bite your hand first, which is better than anything else.
Yeah.
So, but if you approach slowly and calmly, usually it's going to be a positive interaction, especially out in the backcountry. Nobody's taking their dogs out there to be aggressive.
Right.
So just be mindful of that and ask first if you can pet that dog.
Yeah. And then the only other thing that I have on my list, and I won't really harp on it, but it's like just plan for the weather conditions, right? Like, so... When you and I talk about hiking, we generally think like spring, summer, fall, but you know, theoretically people could be out hiking in the winter. I don't know if you would take your dog in the winter, but you know, just be mindful.
Put their dogs in boots and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's the thing. I mean, just be mindful of the weather. If your dog is going to need a sweater or need a jacket or need booties, you know, think of those types of things. Yep. Do your own research, like we like to say. Yeah.
And just prepare. And that goes along with just with the know your dog's limitations.
Yeah.
If it overheats easily, if it gets cold easily,
right.
Just know how far it can go and what temperatures it can handle.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
So, as always, if anybody has any comments, questions, concerns about anything we've talked about today, you can email us at SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at SeanMikeHike. Or wherever you're listening to this, please feel free to rate, review, and subscribe. We certainly appreciate the support with that. Anything else from you, Mike?
Can I pet that dog?
Can I pet that dog? All right. Hey, go take a hike, Mike.
Yeah, go take a hike. We'll see you in a few weeks.
We'll see you guys.
A couple weeks.
Bye.